A change in lifestyle and a desire to get off the grid led our next guests to set up as gourmet mushroom farmers in Oho, south of Leuven. Jude Horrell and Brent Williams moved back from Melbourne, Australia, to New Zealand 3 years ago. They'd been away for 30 years. They wanted to create a sustainable lifestyle, and the couple found the dream property about a year and a half ago. There they set up Oho Gourmet Mushrooms, where they grow what the name suggests, two types of oyster and shiitake mushrooms to sell at local markets. There are some pictures of the mushrooms on our webpage, and we have Brent Williams on the line. Good morning, Brent.
Hi.
That's a long time to make your way home, isn't it? 30 years away?
It was a lovely journey, and we're really so stoked to be back here.
And when you made that return, had in mind that you wanted to create this lifestyle, was it always going to be mushrooms, or were you open-minded?
No, look, when we planned to move back to New Zealand, we really didn't know what on earth we were going to do. What we did know is we didn't want to continue our, you know, our lifestyle that we had been living, which was, you know, based around big cities. We had a management consulting business in Melbourne, which we brought back to New Zealand. Our long-term plan was to get off grid, but sort of not long after arriving, we decided to go straight to plan B and get there more quickly. And somewhere along the line, mushrooms just sprung into my head. You know, I was talking to a friend about, you know, the mysterious nature of mushrooms and fungi in general. And then I wondered whether you could grow these variety of mushrooms in New Zealand and if there was a market for it, and then just went for it.
So this wasn't a case of finding a business and taking on a business. You knew what you wanted to create.
Yeah, well, I always say we had a vision of what we wanted. And when I looked at, you know, the role fungi could play within that, it just ticked every single box. And it was just, for me, I'm a business person, and it was just a no-brainer. And I turned around to Jude. She was at the time doing a gig with her, you know, management consulting stuff. And she was just absolutely miserable. She came home one night and I said, I've got it. We're going to be mushroom farmers.
Well,
and she is very brave.
What did she say to that?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
She said, let's do it.
So then you come back. You've got the business idea. You know what you're going to grow. The question then is to find the land. And I imagine, I mean, what are we talking about here? How do we grow these mushrooms, and what were you looking for in a property?
Well, interestingly, going back ahead of that, before the land, what I wanted was, you know, to be able to grow something I could take anywhere, and I wasn't restricted on climate or other sorts of factors, you know, like soil, and the mushrooms fit that. So we actually, what we did do then was park the idea of finding the land first and set the business up. So we started off in Lindale, just outside of Paraparaumu, and focused our first year on getting the business up. And we do the final stage, the grow stage, in insulated shipping containers. So then when we found the land, we just packed everything up into the containers, put them on back of trucks, and moved them onto the property.
This is what's fascinating. And listeners, have a look at the gallery on the webpage, because it reminds me of what you see sometimes scuba diving underwater. These incredible shapes and colours and designs. What are they growing on inside?
Well, inside the bag, we try to stay as close to nature as possible. Some people might use straw or even coffee grounds as that growing medium. We're using wood, and I've been able to perfect our technique so we can grow on pine. So it's also quite common to use agricultural waste product for that substrate. So I'm using, you know, the waste product from the pine industry. So it's basically sawdust, which interestingly is also certified organic, and it's food safe, not that you'd want to eat it. So it's growing on pine sawdust, some soy hull, which is marketed as a horse food, and water. Then of course it's the mycelium of the mushroom. So it's very, very simple. And then inside that container, we're trying to replicate what it would be like deep in a forest. So even the light in there is more the blue spectrum of light, which is what penetrates deep into the canopy. So we try and keep it as natural in there as possible. And then we have misters on, which keep the humidity high. and give them an ideal growing condition.
So how, we're all familiar, of course, with seeing them growing off the sides of trees or out the sides of trees,
yep.
or sometimes springing straight out of the ground. How
yep.
are they attached? These are in bags, but do they sort of get into what's inside the bag? How do they physically attach?
Well, they don't attach. They're growing out of it. So
oh, I see.
As part of the process, we're making up this mixture, which is, by the way, it's unceremoniously put into a big cement mixer, all this mix, along with the culture. So our process with the mushroom culture itself starts in a laboratory clean room. So we have a clean room where we're working on cultures on petri dishes, keeping it healthy and expanding it. Then in the final stage, it goes into those big bags that you'll see on the gallery. So then what happens is we put holes in those bags, and so the bag is actually replicating a rotting tree out there in the forest, and there's holes in there, and what the mushrooms are looking for is oxygen. So when the fruit body is ready to grow, which is about 2 to 3 weeks after we make the bag, little baby mushrooms are coming out. They are looking for that oxygen, and then they're just bursting out of there. Then they take about 4 days to reach maturity, and we're harvesting them.
They're very
so
pretty.
It's a very, very fast process.
Yeah, they're very pretty. How did you learn all this? Like, who or what taught you?
Oh, I joke, and when people at the market ask me this, I usually go, YouTube bro taught me everything I know. I started off looking a lot on YouTube, sort of doing your research, because there's a lot of mushroom growers doing similar techniques, talking about it. But my background is actually in publishing and academic publishing, so I drew quite deeply from a lot of literature. So I also looked at a lot of scientific papers to work out, you know, how I was going to perfect my my production methods and help me to make those sorts of choices as a business of how I could grow it in a sustainable way. I think for a lot of businesses, when you start off in that first couple of years, you often will lock yourself into a path in terms of your production methods or other decisions you've made in your business, which doesn't allow you to grow. So I was very, very careful that we chose or made business decisions that would allow us to expand and continue to grow.
Do we call them different species of mushroom, by the way? We've got the shiitake, we've got a pink oyster, we've got...
Yes.
Are they a genus or a species, or what are they?
Yes, they are. So the species, that, you know, you've got the oyster mushroom there, of which we have the two types. One is the grey or the phoenix oyster mushroom, and the other is just colloquially known as the pink oyster mushroom or Pleurotus gemor, its botanical name. And then we have the shiitake mushroom, which is a different species again. Those are our main mushrooms, and we're also working on other things like turkey tail and a few, and also the coral tooth mushroom. All of those varieties of mushrooms would grow on dead trees, and usually they would be in the northern hemisphere on deciduous hardwood trees. So they struggle in New Zealand to grow on sort of more native timbers.
So who was the market? Because we munch our way through, goodness knows how many million kilograms of button mushrooms. Who was your market for these more exotic species?
Well, when Jude and I were in Australia, we happened to be living in Fitzroy, in fact, ground central on Johnson Street and Brunswick Street, and we noticed the rise of all the vegan restaurants and the trend towards plant-based eating. So initially the idea was, even though Jude and I still eat meat, was to offer more opportunities for people on a plant-based diet and try and move this sort of a plant-based diet a little bit more mainstream and using fungi in an innovative way to do that, because they really are the gap between in terms of nutrition and also in terms of their texture, which is quite important in a meal. And the overall profile between a plant-based meal and a meat one. So fungi fits right in the middle of that. So that was initially, it was that. And also it was to introduce to, you know, that average Kiwis, a whole different mushroom experience. These are very, very different in terms of flavour and texture to a button mushroom. And I take great delight at the market where we often will have a barbecue and give people samples because I've never seen them before. And they look at the pink oyster mushroom. We often have a display bag like you see in those photos hanging there, and it just stops people in their tracks, and they're taking photos, and we really engage them, and then we give them a taste of it. And then a lot of them, well, some people will turn around and say, you know what, I've hated mushrooms my whole life. I'm now a convert. And I love it, you know, when I get the opportunity to to kind of turn somebody like that and introduce them into a whole new exciting food category.
I would have thought chefs and restaurateurs, they're having a hell of a year, of course, at the moment, but I would have thought they would have an interest in them as well, particularly for presentation purposes.
Absolutely. When I initially started, my business plan was really around hospitality and introducing them to chefs so they would have an exciting plant-based meal they could add to the menu. But as we started going, Jude and I really found we enjoyed working directly with people so much at farmers markets. So us as a business, our main focus is on people and less so on hospitality. We do have a couple of chefs that we do sell to. There are other mushroom growers in New Zealand that do specialise more for those. And for all those people that I call foodies, the oyster mushrooms I think are just starting to take off in New Zealand. So I think it's really exciting, for chefs that they can really work around this whole, can plan a whole meal around these new products that are coming out.
So what is the difference? You mentioned those important parts of any flavour profile and texture's a big one, obviously. So what is the difference between them and what kind of cooking would you use them to bring out the best in them?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because of the texture, because I use the word meat it's got a more fleshy texture to it. So you can use it in a lot more, in different ways than you would do a field mushroom, which often has a more spongy and quite its own unique texture in itself. So for instance, with the pink oyster mushrooms, I like to compare that to, we call that vegan bacon. If you fry that in a high smoke point oil, we often use coconut oil or rice bran oil when we're doing it at the market. Get it up to a high temperature and it'll crisp off like bacon. So it'll take on a smoky bacon flavour and texture. So there you've got a perfect condiment to add to the top of a carbonara, for instance. And the one I like to reference is use it in tacos. It's like pink oyster mushrooms crisped up like that and tacos. They are just made to go together. It's just so exciting.
You're also carry on with the flavour stuff.
Oh, and the other thing is, with the pinks, it also can handle a little bit of spicy. So you can, add it to curries. The other thing you can do with the pinks is rather than crisp it off, make it quite chewy. So you actually got a lot more of a, mastication as you're like chewing onto a curry or something like that. So it can handle the spicy flavor and it gives you something to chew on a plant-based meal. So the pink is really unique, and once people get used to it, that's all they want to buy at the market. So if they see the grey ones there, they go, nah, I want the pink.
You've also, though, you're selling the kits, and this is a case of giving away your business in some ways. So how popular are the grow-it-yourself kits?
Massively popular, and during lockdown, we were just inundated. We shipped over a ton and a half of mini farms all over the country. And I think it was really exciting for, especially for the homemaker that is probably struggling to think of what can they do for making creative meals out of all the staples. They might have bought a lot of rice and pasta. How can I add some fun to it? So it was something that, they could work with. It also, I think, made them feel good that perhaps, they had some food security. They were able to grow their own food. And also, one of the other fun things with we call them mini farms rather than kits, is that how it engages children. It's just fascinating to watch them grow. It's so fast. And then they often, the children will take on the responsibility of misting it and caring for it and then harvesting. So I love the whole idea of engaging people with the food they eat right from the beginning.
How big are these, by the way? Can they sit in the, in a little courtyard somewhere or a little backyard near the herb farm?
You can do. We usually recommend you grow it indoors because inside replicates more it's more like a forest at that time of year. So typically the mushrooms like to grow during the autumn and the spring, which is more like our inside temperature. So it's really just a matter of maintaining humidity. So we usually recommend growing inside, or you could grow it in a shed or your garage, or if you've got a glass house. It does require a little bit of care, but only while the mushrooms are growing, which is only for about 4 days because they grow so fast.
It's been a heck of 3 years, and you got to the property about a year and a half ago. I know you're
That's right.
building a permaculture business there as well. Like, It's happened very quickly in a way, but is that the way you two operate, even when you're changing pace?
Look, our management consulting business was about a new trend in business management called agility or agile. So we use agile, our same business philosophy in this business as we would do within a corporate. And that's really about experimentation and moving quickly, just getting there faster, not planning too much, just having the minimum viable that you need. An example of that is when I turned around to Jude and said, we're going to be mushroom farmers. We set ourselves 3 months with a goal of to be at the market, you know, with some trays, you know, so, and within 3 months, you know, so we set ourselves very achievable targets and then we build from there. So that allows us to move very quickly. And we're also very big on failure and making mistakes and learning from those, understanding it and driving forward. So we apply that kind of philosophy in everything we do, so we can take big, bold steps with a lot of confidence.
Wonderful stuff, Brent. Thank you very much. Brent Williams from Gourmet Mushrooms. They are now based near, just south of Levin, of course. Ōhau is in Horowhenua and selling to local markets there, although you can buy your own kit as well. You can see the images and links on our webpage.